All right, hello everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken Happiness Now Global Series. This is the launch of season 32. So thank you so much for all of you being here, whether you're live with us now or you're watching later on YouTube or listening to the podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So appreciate it. And if you are new to me and to the guests on this show, to the Awaken Happiness Now Show, please do subscribe, please follow, et cetera, for more shows. My dream, my desire, my wish, my intention, my hope, my goal is to serve you in the highest and best way that I can for what you require, what you need. And hopefully that is growth, consciousness, awareness, expansion, tools, techniques, support, resources to help you get unstuck and help you move forward. And sometimes clarity and sometimes whatever is coming up, right? So please do join us. Most shows will be on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at this time, but some shows will be at 10 a.m. Eastern. So please do keep an eye on the emails or the social media posts, whatever works for you. And I'm so excited. Let's get started with season 32. And my good friend Denise Mange is back with us. She is launching with me today. So I'm so excited that she's here with us. And we're going to be talking about pets, of course. We're going to talk about pets and our shared spiritual legacy. As you all know, I have two wonderful pets, rescues that we rescued from the shelter, but I think really they rescued me. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So Denise is with us today. And for those of you who don't know Denise, like I said, she was with us last season and the season before. She is a pet expert, a pet intuitive, and founder of Pet Prana. She is a certified dog trainer and pet intuitive. And after a decade of working at some of the most prestigious advertising agencies in New York City, Denise left Madison Avenue to work with pets and their humans, eventually creating her own mindful pet lifestyle brand called Pet Prana. Combining traditional training techniques with energetic considerations of pet guardianship, Denise's work highlights how everyday interactions with our pets have the power to transform us. Her proprietary process, Translating Beyond Behavior, provides a roadmap to how your pet's behavior can give you specific insight into the transformation that is ready to take place, including which habits, beliefs, and patterns to release so that you and your pet can vibe higher. Think of it as self-help for the pet's sake, but it's also for all of us as well. So we're going to talk about all of that and more. And so today, specifically, what we're talking about is pets and our shared spiritual legacy. So we're going to talk about ways our animal companions have been helping us in our upleveling in critical moments of our collective development, including the Garden of Eve and Atlantean times. We're going to talk about ways our pets have been preparing us for this exact moment in time, the cyclical nature of upleveling and tapping into higher perspectives, and how mindful practices like labyrinth walking can help us tap into more balance and wisdom along our journey. So we're going to talk about all of that and so much more. I'm so excited. Denise, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad you're here. And of course, we are going to be taking live caller questions. We already have some people with their hands raised. But if you are here live with us in the Zoom room, please do raise your hand or type in the chat. Okay, so Denise, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Alara, and congratulations on your new season. It's so wonderful to share this moment and milestone with you and everybody who's joining us live today and through the replay. And I just can't wait to dig in and talk about, you know, this really special roles that pets have played, not only for us individually, but humanity as a collective.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. They are playing such a big role with us, for us, all of us. And sometimes we forget that when we're having little moments with our pets, right? So when our pets are misbehaving in some way, or I don't know, sometimes I forget that you know what, they're here for a bigger purpose than just annoying me. But also, you know, I find for myself, they are just so lovey-dovey, and they bring out the love in me and the compassion in me and the patience. Sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes the barking is like, enough, please. But it's like, that's their way of communicating. So I understand, right? But they are doing so much more than we realize. So I want to definitely talk about that and tap into some of that, of what they are doing for us, with us, to help us on our journey, right? And help us in our evolution, and as well as the evolution of the collective consciousness, right? So let's start off first, Denise, by just talking about how these animals, our pets, have been helping us along our journey, especially critical points in the human collective. And, you know, we might think of the critical points in our own journeys and in our own lives as well. And I can definitely see where Neo and Timmy have come in at really, really key critical points in my life and in my journey as well.
I love that. And one thing, just to kind of blanket the conversation, is even if you don't have pets, or, you know, you don't currently have an animal companion with you, part of this discussion also is pets, but also animals in the wild, right? Mm-hmm. We tend to think of animal companions and pets, which I like to think of pets as just any energy that's particularly cherished, right? That's the definition of pet. You know, all of these consciousness, all of these animals in the wild, all of our little animals and the companions that live in our home, they're all in this together. So the other kind of main theme that we're going to be talking about today also is kind of the cyclical nature of our evolution and our partnership together. And so I kind of want to start with something that I do every year as part of my cycle, my spiritual practice. And it was January 1st. I'm going to take you guys back to a little story, but January 1st, it was a couple years ago, I decided, you know, it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. I'd love to get out in nature and do something special. So what does a girl in LA do other than Google, you know, best hikes in LA? And this one hike around Tuna Canyon popped up. And at the top of the hike, there's this little, you know, stone made labyrinth. And I was like, that looks kind of cool. Let's hop on over there. So I drove out to Tuna Canyon, was walking up the path. And it was so interesting because, you know, in LA, hikes are usually very full, especially on big days like New Year's Day. But it was empty. It was just me. And I was walking up this beautiful path. And as I was kind of going up the hill and kind of rounding the mountain, I could feel the energy rising, the vibration rising. There was something just so beautiful and inspiring about being in that space and being in it in a stillness, right? And the only things I could hear were the sound of the birds, the sound of kind of the waves underneath kind of crashing down from the Pacific Ocean. So I approached this beautiful stone labyrinth, and it couldn't have been much bigger than an area rug, maybe 5x7. So it's nothing grandiose, but just looking at it, the power of it was so palpable. So I already knew what my intention was, what I wanted to release and let go and set intentions for the new year. So I began on my journey, walking this path of this little stone labyrinth at the top of this beautiful hill in Malibu. And as I walked it, with each step, I felt a stillness within me. I felt a connectness, a oneness to everybody who had walked that same path. You know, I noticed little piles of stones being left along the way. And I realized how beautiful and inspiring that is something that another human being wanted to leave behind. Maybe it was a burden. Maybe it was something painful. Maybe it was a gift that they were leaving behind for the next person. But there was this beautiful connection. So by the time I got to the center of that labyrinth, I was just in my heart in a way that was so expansive that I could never have explained or expected, especially given the daintiness of that actual labyrinth. And there was this connection, this oneness with the animals, the birds, the whales, the dolphins. Even though I couldn't see them, I could feel them. And so I left that experience and I was just blown away with the sense of compassion and oneness for everything. And that was my first labyrinth walking experience. And as I walked away, I was like, okay, I get it. I get why labyrinths are such a thing, such a practice. And so I, you know, resumed with my day to day. A couple days later, I was on a walk and the animals literally sat me down, and I think 6 or 7 pages of all this information on our shared spiritual legacy just kind of poured out of me. So it was this really beautiful opportunity and kind of a cyclical practice that I do now every year on January 1st as an opportunity to just have that experience, have that connection, have that stillness, because a lot of us don't get that in our day-to-day life, this opportunity to just focus and literally walk in circles. We're usually so focused on going from point A to point B as quickly as possible. It was a really beautiful experience to mindfully walk and to have animals in the wild supporting and connecting and being the soundtrack to that experience.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I love how that's a practice that you now do every January 1st. It's like, that's so smart. It's like, I love it. You know, and it's about connecting to that consciousness, right? And the consciousness of oneness and unity, and just being present and still, because you're right. As much as we would like to have those moments of stillness more and more, it can be difficult, right? So it's hard. I think I muted you by accident.
You're muted. I got it. And what was even more beautiful were the two gifts that came from it. One is what we'll talk about today, which is the understanding of our shared spiritual legacy and just how deeply it kind of transcends and goes for, you know, us in the collective. But also the second gift that came from it is what is part of the special offer today, which is this whole course about labyrinth walking. And so I get the opportunity to walk the actual labyrinth every January 1st. And then at some point in June before the summer solstice, I always do this course, this practice of doing the virtual walking with the labyrinths, which we'll talk about in the second half of the call. But I do want to go in a little bit more about our shared spiritual legacy. And what they downloaded and were very clear about is that our animal companions and animals in the wild have been with us from the get-go. Right. And we've always had a very special relationship with them. Maybe it's because, you know, my mom was an art historian, art history teacher. But, you know, the first image they showed me when they sat me down was that those cave drawings in France. Right. And how interesting is it that as human beings, one of our first creative expressions, when we picked up paint and a stick, what did we depict? It wasn't each other. It was animals. Right. It was horses in particular. And so it just speaks to our connection and how long ago we forged it and we represented that relationship and kind of the specialness around it. But then they took me way, way back to our origin story as human beings, right? Perhaps the most famous is the Garden of Eden, right? That notion that we lived, you know, free of shame in this beautiful, idyllic paradise. And we were surrounded, you know, with a human companion, but also with all of the animals and all of nature. And we were constantly surrounded by them. And so, you know, and in this story of paradise, the story of the Garden of Eden, we're not alone. You know, it's not only a biblical story, it stretches across all cultures, everywhere from, you know, Chinese Taoist tradition to ancient Greece, to the first peoples, you know, Aboriginal and, you know, Native stories spanning from, you know, the United States to Iceland, to Europe, to Australia, to Guatemala. Every single culture has this story of paradise lost, right? This notion that as humans, we lived in paradise in oneness with our animal companions, with nature. And what always characterizes each of the stories are three things. One is this tremendous connection to consciousness, universal consciousness, whether we call it God, spirit, you know, the universe, whatever that might be. That's the second thing is the sense of abundance, right? The sense that we lacked for nothing. You know, we had everything at our fingertips. We were so connected. We were so comfortable. And the third thing that kind of links everything is the communication with animals. We had this beautiful communing with them. We were connected. It wasn't us versus them. We weren't their guardians. We were in that together. And then each story highlights a moment where a human made a decision and then they quote unquote fell out of grace or they lost, you know, that paradise. And in most of the stories, it's interesting, just like the biblical story of Adam and Eve, it was an animal, like the snake that had that conversation was part of the decision of, let's, you know, take action and let's go into something different. We've experienced the oneness. We've experienced the paradise. Let's see what else is out there. And human beings being curious as we are, of course, we're going to embark on that great experiment, right? And so what has always kind of bothered me is in the story of Adam and Eve, snake gets a really bad rep, right? A snake is meant to be this, you know, conniving energy that kind of tricks us into eating the fruit, and then we lose the connection to that paradise. But what if it actually was a group decision, right? One of the perceptions that the animals want to switch is that that whole notion of separation, that didn't happen to us, that happened because we made that decision, right? Our group consciousness as a collective, you know, what a lot of us talk about in the spiritual community as the great experiment, we experienced oneness. We wanted to experience the disconnection so that we could walk our way back to that beautiful experience of paradise, of oneness, of connection. And so the animals have decided that they will help us on this journey. They have not forgotten that state of being, that experience. As humans, we have, but they're walking alongside us, guiding us, and acting as little anchors of memories, magic, remembrances, so that they can drop those little spiritual breadcrumbs along the way. And it's also particularly interesting that snake was the animal depicted in the biblical story as the one who helped us make that decision about, you know, separating from that unity consciousness, because just as snake sheds their skin and they lose their sight through that process, that's exactly what we're doing. We just shed our skin and we're regaining a new skin and developing new sight in the process. So our animal companions have been with us every step of the way, and always in partnership and in concert. Never in a trickery, us versus them. They are our guardians, our little sidekicks along the way in our hero's journey. And they're holding that remembrance, getting us back to where we are, which is a sense of wholeness, paradise, and communing.
I love that. I love how you were able to get all these references from all these different cultures. And it is so true. These animal companions that we've had, and not the ones that personally in our family, but everywhere, they're always with us, always around us, always. It's like showing us signs and giving us messages if we're willing to perceive them and be aware of them, right? But you're right. They are here as companions, but they're also here as messengers and guides and to assist us, and as well as assisting humanity to evolve and consciousness to expand. And I mean, I'll be honest. I love most animals, I would have to say. Some insects I have an issue with. So as nice as I am, as compassionate as I am, someday I want to be able to talk to somebody about bees, and not bees, wasps and spiders and flies. And it's like, somebody help me out, because I'm missing a key point here. But when it comes to cats and dogs and, you know, bigger horses and bigger animals, it's like, oh my God, they have so much to share with us. And we forget how much knowledge and wisdom, I'm going to say wisdom, how much wisdom they truly have, and how intuitive they are as well, right? They know when something is going on with me or with Robert. They can sense it. And Timmy's like right there in the middle between us. I'm like, Timmy, it's fine. Nothing is happening, right? But they're so intuitive. They know exactly what's happening. They're so aware of the energy, and they know exactly what to do to help us. You know, and that's the thing. They are helping us all the time. We might be taking care of them, like giving them food, taking them for a walk, etc. But they're really the ones who are helping us in our emotional lives, and our emotional connection with them and with the universe, I think.
Absolutely. And to your point, you know, not all animals or, you know, animal companions are cuddly and furry and, you know, very welcome into our world. And so that's where we have a couple different opportunities to look at that. And this is where they serve us maybe even more so than our cuddly animal companions. I'm with you with snake, for example. If I'm going on those hikes, I always talk to snake and I say, I know I'm coming into your land. Please give me permission, but also if you can stay out of view, I would super appreciate it. Also, yeah. If you got to talk to me, jewelry is a great way to do so. You know, so we can also get the messages from the shadow animals in particular through art or statues or, you know, different things that come around. But then going even deeper, if we do want to have those relationships with wasps, with fly, with, you know, whatever the animal that might give us, you know, a little bit of the goosebumps. It's also about, you know, when we think about an animal like wasps, for example, I find they're very misunderstood. Apparently they're incredibly communal and social animals as they go. But for us as humans, there's that fear of pain, right? Because when they get you, they get you hard, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, how can something so small cause so much damage and pain in my body? And that tends to do with lack of control, right? It's the unpredictability and that fear of pain. So where else in our lives are we experiencing that same kind of fear of like, what if something really small happens and blows it all up?
You know, I've had that happen, so I know.
There's an opportunity to work with WASP and say, I get the message you're bringing. This is how I'm working through it. Thank you for showing up. And oftentimes when we realize their magic and wisdom, then we don't have to deal with them as much in our physical reality because the message has been conveyed. Mm. always lovely.
And I just want to say, and honestly, they all have a purpose, right? Wasps have a purpose. Spiders have a purpose. Flies have a purpose. They all have a purpose. Absolutely. I totally get that. And there is a reason why they are in our lives. And sometimes there's a reason why they're triggering us. So we say, you know, we need to ask that these questions, like, okay, what is it about you that is triggering me? Like, what are you trying to teach me? What am I supposed to learn here? Right.
And that's where it's so beautiful because it really goes back to our spiritual legacy, right? Spiritually, whether it's our pet or an animal that might, you know, buzz around us for a second there, they're teaching, they're working with us, they're contributing something to help us come back into balance. And that's why I love this theme that we're talking about today about how pets and our animal companions are really walking us back into balance and walking us back into that remembrance of why we're here, what we're working on together, and how each step of, you know, the cyclical spiral gets us closer to that remembrance of paradise and the oneness and the connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like, do we recognize, do we realize that every day in every way we are, our goal, I think, anyways, is to be more connected to the universe, to creator source, to oneness, to everything, right? That is our goal. But we forget that because we get caught up in our daily duties, right? But our pets, our animal companions, you know, they've been helping us, right, on this path of ascension, self-realization, et cetera, awakening. Mm-hmm. And they're helping us to prepare for these powerful shifts that we're experiencing, right? So how are they helping us with these powerful shifts? Because let's face it, the past couple of years, there's been a lot of powerful shifts, powerful integrations of energies coming through. And even this year, it's been intense already. So how are they helping us in our day-to-day?
So I love that question because this conversation we had leading up to it is the perfect answer to it, right? It's shifting perceptions. It's having these discussions about their role in our lives, both the micro and the macro effects. So a lot of what I love about this discussion is we're combining pets and animal companions with spiritual learning and growth in our path of evolution with this spiral aspect of the labyrinths. And truly our path of upleveling is that spiral energy. I like to kind of speak about it in terms of the Guggenheim Museum in New York City. If anyone's been there or visited, it's that beautiful museum that has that spiral ramp that goes up to the top. And as you walk that ramp, the artwork changes, right? You're still on the same physical footprint, but as you pass each floor to floor, you have a new perspective and you have new scenery and new imagery. And so that's how our animal companions are helping us, because as they work with us to trigger us, right? Whether it's wasp, who we get the initial like, oh, okay, let me look into it. And yeah, little things can really blow up my life. And I've seen that on this level with them, with, you know, getting stung by a wasp, but also in this level of my life with, you know, whether it's health, relationships, whatever it might be, we can really kind of take that theme and blow it out. Same thing with our pets. If they're barking or we're working on separation anxiety with them or setting up loving boundaries, that's kind of the base level. And then when we when we work through those themes and those topics with them, now they've been the dress rehearsal. We've learned boundary setting with our pets. And now that same theme might come up in a relationship, in my career, in different ways. So the beauty about our spiritual up-leveling is there's just so many themes we're all here to work on, right? A lot of them have been encapsulated by the themes associated with each of our chakras, for example. But as my grandma in Oklahoma always used to say, there's a billion ways to serve up okra, right? So my themes of boundary setting might look very different with my pet than it does in my relationship, than it does in my career. But it's an opportunity to work on that theme from a different perspective. And what that does is when we see the same theme from all different angles, we expand. It's not punishment, like, oh my gosh, this is never ending. It's, I get to see it from a different perspective, up level there, different perspective, up level there. So we're really going through that spiral energy of ascension that we speak about. And it's really just revisiting common themes, patterns, relationships with new perspectives.
I love that because that is so true. It is our perspective that shapes our reality, shapes our consciousness, our evolution. And the more that we can get those different perspectives, the less hold the reality has on us, right? On our beliefs and belief systems and programs and paradigms, right? So of course, absolutely, if you can open up your awareness, open up to different perspectives, everything around you is going to change. You're going to change. You have to change if once you get different perspectives and different awarenesses. So I love that. And that is the point of the spiral, whether it's, you know, a labyrinth, right, or a spiral going up. Absolutely. I love that. Thank you. That's key. And I hope people really get that message about getting a different perspective on a situation, a relationship, life in general, etc.
You know, and it's so beautiful because our pets give us the life experiences and practical tools so that we can have those different perspectives. And the various different perspectives that we have on the situation create balance. And that's really what we're looking for, balance. Because when we can find balance in any perspective or situation, now we let go of judgment. So if I find a more perspective balance on what WASP is bringing in my reality through its messages, now I have a more balanced sense. I don't judge its presence as much. I'm like, ah, WASP, got you. I know exactly what you're saying. Thanks for the reminder. Check you later, bud. Rather than having, you know, going through the judgment of the experience of like, oh gosh, it's WASP. Oh my gosh, this is going to happen. And, you know, that whole story. And so the balance is even further emphasized by that practice of labyrinth walking, because it's all about balancing our logic with our practical, our yin with the yang. It's literally, a labyrinth is literally bringing heaven on earth, right? When you walk a labyrinth and you're walking inside, you are kind of bringing your outside intentions and problems and getting new perspectives of it. The second you reach that center, you're kind of integrating that. And as you walk back out, you're bringing that higher perspective back out into the world with you. Right? So we're bringing that divine intuition, that heavenly knowledge, that unity conscious that we're walking toward, we're bringing it back outside with us, which changes our reality and creates balance in us. It balances our masculine with our feminine, our logic with our intuition, our divine with our earthly.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I was just going to say, oh my goodness, how can we, you know, walk a labyrinth virtually? But yeah, that's in the package. It's like,
that's actually, you know, what I love about labyrinths is it can be anything from, you know, a circle that you make in the ground with a stick. It can be yarn that you place in your living room. It can be, you know, this is something that we use in the course. It's a printout. It's called a finger labyrinth. And in the medieval days, I guess they had wooden finger labyrinths for those who weren't able to do the pilgrimage to actual cathedrals, like Chartres Cathedral is one of the most famous labyrinths in Europe. For the people who couldn't make that pilgrimage, they have these beautiful wooden, just grooved labyrinths that you would walk. And by setting the intention and going through that process and giving your physical body something to hold on to, you're able to have the same benefit as if you walked the biggest labyrinth in the world. So it's really about intention and actually going through those spiral motions physically and setting those intentions.
Beautiful. I love that. It sounds like such a transformative, transformational experience when you walk the labyrinth with intention, not just curiosity wise, but with intention. If you actually walk it with intention, I think it can be really transformational.
I agree. I mean, for me, it's been something that I've incorporated, you know, twice a year, very specifically. And it's shifted a lot for me. And especially, you know, this time of year is big, right? We just had the 5/5 portal. Some might know it as Cinco de Mayo. A lot of us know it as the Beltrán celebration, right? Where it's all about, you know, the male god and the female god who were apart during the winter coming back together and celebrating their passion for each other, the fruit that comes with that passion, the creativity, the spark, you know, the energy of the sun coming back. So we're in a very creative moment right now. You know, we're also walking into, at the end of this month, we have one of my favorite gateways, which is the Palladium Gateway, kind of opening up and that beautiful support from our cosmic family, which we have year round, but it just becomes intensified. And there's a sense of nurturing and healing and support as we go through that process. And then of course, we're entering the summer solstice, you know, right around June 21st or 22nd this year. And then we have 8/8, we have the lovely Lionsgate portal as well. So as we walk into these really powerful moments, it's an opportunity to walk very mindfully in our spiritual practice alongside our pets.
Yeah, alongside our pets, absolutely. And so I was just thinking about my wonderful pets. Oh my God, they're so lovely, but they're sometimes, they just drive me crazy. You know, no major issues right now, but I don't know, Leah was peeing all the time for some reason in the house. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know. But other than that, they're so good. They're such good boys. And I'm just so grateful for them because they help me to calm down. They help me to change the energy in the space and my own energy when I'm like too busy and stuff, you know, so they help me to play, right, and raise my vibration at the same time. And, you know, for me, and I've said this so many times, but it's like they just want to be loved. They're just like the big one, the older one, he's 10 now, and I just feel so bad for him that he must not have gotten a lot of love from his, you know, previous owner, because it's like he just wants to be loved, and he just sometimes is like a little or like a big puppy, you know. And it's like it's so lovely to see how they've grown over the past year together, and it's such a gift and it's such a blessing. And I know that their presence in our life on our journey, as difficult as it has been in the past couple of years, has helped us immensely. Myself and my husband helped us immensely to, you know, stay calm, keep moving forward, have more, you know, those moments of just love, you know, in the midst of all the stress and everything. It's just, I'm just so, so, so grateful. And yeah, how did I get so lucky? It's like, oh my God.
You hit on something incredibly profound and one of the most universal messages from our pets. They just want to be loved, right? And that is something that we can extrapolate to everyone on this earth, whether it's humans or, you know, animals or, you know, whatever it may be, plants, maybe Gaia herself. We all just want to be loved. And when we come from that basic premise, even when people annoy us, even when people make decisions that we're like, are you serious? At the end of the day, they're coming from that childlike perspective of just wanting to feel arms wrapped around them, wanting to feel. Yeah. And then we can shift our perspective around their actions, remembering it's not to alienate, it's not out of malice, they just are crying out for love. So what a beautiful message from your animal companions for all of us here today.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, everybody hears about the dogs all the time, but yeah, it's like, especially today, because we're talking about pets. We have some people with their hands raised, no questions really in the chat, but people with their hands raised. So I know a lot of people have questions about their pets and so on, but is there anything else that you wanted to cover right now about labyrinth walking or our pets as, you know, being our guardians on this path of ascension and spiritual, you know, legacy, et cetera?
I think the biggest thing to remember, and I think it's going to come through when we go through the Q&A, is nothing is ever what it appears, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing's ever direct, nothing's ever point A to point B. Everything in our experience, in our spiritual growth, in our relationship with our pets is going to be a roundabout walk, because it gets us to destination we didn't even know we wanted to visit. And that's the common theme here between labyrinths, between our pets, between animals and the wild, is how when we trust the flow of the process, when we trust the ways that they're triggering us, when we trust the ways they're opening our hearts, it's getting us along our personal path of exploration. And when we trust those twists and turns, that's when we can bring heaven on earth. That's truly what it's all about.
And, you know, I've said this before, but, you know, I've always said that, you know, because sometimes pets help us physically, you know, taking on our stuff. And so I've always said, no. I do not want them to take on any of my stuff or Robert's stuff. Nothing. No. But I found myself this week because I was having an issue. And it's like, and I was like, you know, just hugging the big one or the little one. I forget which one it was. And I was like, oh, I just need a little bit of. And I started to say healing. I was like, nope, never mind. It's all good. We're good. You play. You do your thing. I'm fine. You know, but I caught myself because it's like, I don't want that. And I know that pets do that, but I do not want that. So yeah, can we talk a little bit about that as well?
I think that's a beautiful point to talk about. You know, in my experience and the information that the pets have shared me is that they also are here to reach self-actualization. If we think about Maslow's pyramid, you know, we all have lessons, we're all striving to improve ourselves. And for a lot of them, they're here to do our healing. Now, one of the things to keep in mind is when they take on our energy, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a physical manifestation in them, that if I'm sick and you give me a healing, now you're going to be sick. They are prolific. And a lot of the pets are amazing healers at just pulling out, filtering energy and kind of having it dissipate and even transferring it to higher vibrations. So part of it is looking at our perception of what we're looking at when we're working with healers, whether they're furry or human. The second thing is the symbiotic relationship. You give so much. And as pet parents, we give. We make sacrifices. We, you know, we shower them with love. We protect them. They feel fulfilled when they can give back and when you learn to receive. So there is this beautiful mix of, listen, you know, pet parent, I know how I'm going to exit this world. And me, you know, working with you is not going to change that necessarily. So trust me as an equal partner, the same way I lean on you and I have to be vulnerable. Because think about a pet, they're incredibly vulnerable in this reality and embodiment. Whereas in places like the Garden of Eden, Atlantis, they were equals. We weren't taking care of them. They were equals, coworkers, partners, whatever we need to think about. They've agreed in this reality to be in this situation where they do need some help sometimes, especially our domesticated pets. Animals in the wild are a little bit more self-sufficient, but they've submitted themselves to this vulnerability as a lesson to show us it's okay to be vulnerable as well. You know, it's when you give to them, you don't take it as, oh, I got to give this. Oh, I got to, you know, take this on for them. Oh, I got to do Reiki on my pet. It's your pleasure. It's your joy. It's helping you grow as a healer, as a spiritual pet parent. Give them that same opportunity.
I think that's what it came down to, is that I don't want them to be in pain. I don't want them to suffer, you know, all that stuff. So.
And that comes down to what Wasp was sharing about control, right? We want to control the world for those that we love. We wish we could protect them from everything, you know, so they have the most beautiful life. And that goes for our pets, our children, our loved ones, our friends, our family, our community. But sometimes through those struggles and the challenges and the obstacles, that's where we grow. And we really realize, wow, I'm stronger than I thought I was. So sometimes by trying to keep them from those situations, we're removing that opportunity for them to see how much of an equal they are. So there's so much to look at the relationship with them. They're so giving in so many ways.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to stop crying because it's like, you know, I'm trying to run a show.
No, that's lovely. It's authentic, right? And this is what our pets do. It's an authentic exchange, and it gets us in our hearts and it gets us vulnerable, which is the most beautiful way to be.
Yeah, I know. But there's a time and place for crying. This is not
well,
it.
If there ever were, it's here on this with this soul pack. But so, I'm excited. When folks do ask their questions, one thing that's always going to be helpful is to give us, you know, the name of your pet, if you have questions about your pet, what kind of pet they are, dog, cat, horse, if they're here or transitioned, and then give us a question. Mm-hmm. Some of the questions that don't tend to get as powerful and meaty of a response are the, what do my pets want me to know? Dig a little deeper and ask a specific question, and you'll get a lot richer of a response.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. I totally agree. And please, let's keep it to one question. I know some of you have many questions, but let's keep it to one question so that we can get everybody's questions answered. That'd be great. All right. So, So iPhone, you want to unmute yourself?
Yes. Hi. Joy. Oh, it's such an interesting conversation. I do have a little pet here, Pepper, and he got hurt the other day. He was in a cast for like 2 months or so. So seemingly he's better, but not as agile as he used to be. And he seems to understand me a lot. So what is he teaching me right now? Because I'm going through some things myself, but he seems to understand without, you know, like too much communication. Mm-hmm. But what is he here for me to do?
So that's kind of like the question, what message does he have for me?
yeah, but he's teaching me some stuff, because I don't know what he's teaching. I can't reach him, but I know he's very empathetic, and he understands something about me that I really don't know.
And so I'm sorry, because the phone kind of cut out a little bit. Your name's Joy, and is it your dog whose name is Pepper?
Pepper, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so one of the things that jump out, you know, we talk about our pets bringing messages. I equally love numerology, because numbers bring us messages. And so when we look at Pepper's numbers, good Lord, he's got, you know, double sevens with 75 kind of repeated over and over, and then 59 at the end of his name. So Pepper, when I see these pets with a lot of sevens in them, they are the philosopher kings of the spiritual world, of our pets world. So what he's helping you with is really connecting and realizing and stepping into your role in the universe and your connection and the piece that you play and the echoes that it carries, not only in your soul path with him and your family and your community, but in the universe across the different dimensions. So he's helping you understand, you know, I love how Wasp is coming through so powerfully today. The same way that Wasp is a small little insect, but can have a very big impact or reaction from people. Same thing with you. You have this really beautiful energy that is about helping people shift perspectives and kind of simplify the mysteries of the universe. You kind of look at things like karma, reincarnation, or, you know, all of these more complex themes that some people have trouble wrapping their head around. You're able to distill them in very simple terms and have conversations with people and meet them where they are. And that's your gift. Your gift is actually communication, which is interesting. So what Pepper's doing is he's helping you activate kind of that realization of who you are and the bigness of your role here and helping people shift their perceptions. And he's also working with you as an aside in having trust in moments of crisis. So whether it's because he broke his leg or he was in a cast or it's a medical situation, or because there's something going on big in the community or in the collective that just feels like, oh my God, how are we gonna overcome this? It's finding faith in those moments and knowing that you're able to shift perceptions. And even if you shift one person's perception, you've made a big impact.
You're so eloquent. So true. I bring tears to my eyes. Thank you so much. Especially when you just said communication, it's just like, wow. You are on. Yes. Yes, you're so truthful. You're there. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And one really big aspect that Pepper wants to highlight about you and your gift is, you know, there's some people who like have an agenda when they communicate or try to get people to shift perceptions. It's like you meet someone, you sit down, you don't even get to know them. You just blah, 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 blah. That's not you. You're incredibly empathic. So you know when and where people are open to the message or when they need to hear it. So that's just a testament to you and your kindness and gentleness. And that reminder for all of us in the spiritual community that we have to have those energetic boundaries for ourselves and others. We don't want to dump our baggage or our wisdom on people who aren't open to it. So really beautiful way that you operate in this world. So thank you.
Thank you. And we need to hear more from you. Definitely.
Awesome. Thank you, Joy. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. And hopefully Pepper will be fine soon.
Right? Oh, yes, I hope so. He seems to be getting better day by day. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Good. Good. All right, Linda, you want to unmute yourself?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Hi, Denise. It's so nice that you're on. I really appreciate you being here. My daughter has a cat, and so he's my grandcat. His name is Drizzt. He's gray, and he's about 10 or 11 years old. And all of a sudden, he has started to lose weight. And I don't know what's going on with him. And she hasn't had the time lately to have investigated further.
Mm-hmm. And Drizzt, is that D-R-I-Z-O-T?
Z-I-T.
D-I-T. Okay, perfect. 8, 9, 2. Okay. So I'm not a medical intuitive, so I'll just share kind of what's coming up in the energy as it pertains to Drizzt. Drizzt is showing an up-leveling. And so it's really interesting. The loss of weight has to do with less density in his physical experience, which is representative of his environment. So there seems to be an uplifting, kind of a losing baggage, losing weight around Drizzt, but also your daughter and whatever is going on in her home life. I don't know if she left something behind, you know, left a relationship, whatever it might be, but that's the reflection is he doesn't need to be as dense because the vibrations are getting lighter and higher because of that baggage being released.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. That's good. I just was hoping he wasn't, you know, going to leave us.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and I don't mean this to sound callous at all, you know, our pets have our exit strategies and they come with us for certain chapters. Drizzt isn't giving me any idea of exit strategy. But that's to say that if and when, you know, we wish our animals could live forever, but when they transition, it's because the chapter and the lessons are
is over with. Yeah, I do get that. Anything that I could do to help my other daughter? I know I'm asking two questions. Sorry, Lara.
But and we have lots of other people with their hands raised.
I know. I'm going to make it fast. I have another daughter who has 5 puppies for sale. Is there a way I can facilitate helping her to release them because she's far away and I can only do it energetically?
Yeah. So I love the idea of the reverse fetch. I work with a lot of pets energetically, especially a couple of my early, you know, little dog sitting clients that are special little souls to me. And I say, go fetch me clients sometimes, or fetch me the right people to join this podcast. So work with the puppies and say, hey, fetch your humans. It's getting time for you guys to find your families now. So fetch your humans. And energetically, they'll attract who they need.
Ah, perfect. Thank you. Sorry, Alara. I just had to ask. Thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Thanks, thank
Denise.
You. Good. Thank you. Thank you. And just a reminder to everybody, if there is anything going on with your pet physically, please do get your pet checked out. Please.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, energy work is great. Intuitive readings are great. But if there's something physically going on with your pet, please get them checked. Cindy, you want to unmute yourself, Cindy?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Alara. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
And everyone. I have two rescue dogs. I have a very special dog that he's actually on my lap. His name is Cisco.
Oh my God, so cute.
I think the universe and divine guidance brought him to me from my previous dog named Chico. I think he sent him here to be with me. I've had Cisco for 5 years now. And as much as I've been trying to potty train him, I can take him outside several times. He'll come back in and he'll still want to pee on the house. I'm not sure. Is there something going on with him that he wants me to know, or Cisco? Why is he so hard to train?
And is this Cisco like Francisco, C-I-S-C-O?
Yes. Uh-huh.
First of all, love him. What a sweet, gentle energy he is. The thing about Cisco is he has a lot of six energy in his name, a lot of threes, a lot of nines, a lot of sixes. So it's that 3-6-9 sequence. And especially around the six, and this is interesting for you too, Alara, is that tends to do, I tend to associate that with potty issues. Right. So for him, it's about not feeling super safe outside. His perception of, you know, reality outside is that it's a place that he doesn't want to even share his worst parts with, which it would be his elimination. So for him, he feels safer to do it indoors because he feels like it's more resonant with his vibration, which is interesting because we think of elimination as a like, let's get rid of it. But for him, it's part of himself. So a couple things to keep in mind. One is anytime we have a behavioral issue like that, we want to make sure that we are setting them up for success from a physical training and energetic standpoint. So physically, if he's going to the bathroom indoors a lot in terms of marking, although it doesn't sound like it, then that's going to be something we want to make sure they don't have a UTI or anything that's causing them to have accidents in the house more frequently. The second thing with training, desensitization little Cisco. Part of it is going to be letting him know the world's not that scary of a place. The world can actually be a very welcoming, beautiful experience. So using treats, having him just hang outside with him, show him the beauty of the world through your eyes. So he feels more comfortable sharing parts of himself, even if it's kind of gross parts, with the world. And then last but not least, energetically, help him stay calm, help him stay cool, help him stay collected. And I would start, if you have a yard or a very specific place, keep taking him to that spot and create like a really beautiful vibe around there. You might even want to put a little obsidian crystal in that spot so that he feels comfortable with, you know, hey, little one, this is where we clear the energy.
Ironically, he just led me to go outside. He was doing his little dance and, okay, I've got to go now, mommy. Take me outside. So
from a training standpoint, give him the best treat in the world, a 10 out of 10 treat, our version of pizza and McDonald's. Hey, handsome. Wow.
Okay. I think the message got through to him somehow. Something, what do you call it? Got into him. The message.
Well, thank you. Keep us posted and help the little one, you know, celebrate the victories. But that's so lovely. What a cute little soul.
Can you tell me if he came from a good place? I'm always wondered where he came from. He came from a high kill dog shelter and we saved him from being euthanized. And I just wondered, did he have a troubled home?
So part of that, he wants to completely block that out because he wants a fresh slate. So, part of when we work with rescues, a message that I've gotten, you know, here and there, but somewhat consistently is, let's not talk about me as a rescue. Let's not talk about me saved. Let's not talk about my past. I want to talk about going forward. You know, what a beautiful life we have. You know, if anyone asks you, oh my God, this is a cute dog. Don't go into the story of, yeah, he's a rescue and we saved him and he's, you know, saved me back and blah, blah, blah. Be like, yeah, isn't he so handsome? He looks like me, right? He's got my eyes. He really wants to leave that part behind because that's part of what gave him that experience that the outside world isn't a friendly place.
Okay. Thank you. That was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that blessed information. I'm so grateful to have my little Cisco with me. I know he came in for a purpose.
Beautiful. And it's so you can show him through your eyes how beautiful the world is and how loving and kind. And as you do that for him, it translates to all of those around you. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Many blessings to you and everybody.
Awesome. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Good, good, good. All right. We are going to go to Randy. Randy, you want to? Yep, there you go.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Honoring the one question, three choices. There's Zeus in my picture with the waterfall. There's Falcon, who's been coming to me for years, passing through and always stops to make sure that we care and I see you. And there's I met a Bigfoot. Where do you want to go from there? Thank you. I love you.
So I had a little trouble hearing the names. Can you?
Zeus.
Zeus. Okay, let's go with Zeus. And Zeus is the one in the picture. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
11 years he was with me, and it was part of one of the best parts of my life.
It's a powerful name, that's for sure. So let us pull the information here. And do you have a question for Zeus?
No.
Okay, perfect. So I'll kind of go with what I'm hearing from Zeus, which has to do with light, and bending light, leveraging light, using it in a capacity that it's so interesting because, of course, with his name Zeus, we have this, you know, mythological energy that comes with us, this power, not only mythological, but like the King of Kings. And what he brings me to is the image of Thor, right? And Thor is the one who holds the thunderbolt, as is Zeus, I think, if my mythology serves. And so this is a reflection of you. One of your gifts and abilities here is to use light, use photons to manipulate the energy of this dimension. So if you are looking to create shifts in the home, clear out the home, use that light. If you're looking to create shifts in your physical experience, if you're having, you know, aches and pains or whatever, use that light. For you, you are of the light. He's showing you very much as Apollo, Apollo energy. You come from the light, you come from the sun, you know how to use that technology. So it's all about remembering it and using it as you see fit.
Wow.
Recognizable, humbling, beautiful, eloquent, profound.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Tesla comes up also as one of your spiritual, I'd say guide, but just part of your spiritual milieu. So electricity, light bulb, like electricity, light, photons, that's your vibe.
I ran a metaphysical show in New York, New Life Expo, for 11 years. Yeah. And it was in the same hotel where Tesla lived and died in New York City for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's every day for me.
I was going to say, Randy, I was going to say, Denise, do you and Randy know each other? Because I'm like, oh my God, that was so spot on.
That's so interesting. Well, it's the New York City connection. After 13 years there, you pick up on everyone's energy. You have no choice. You're all smushed in.
Assimilation.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my
goodness. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you, Randy. Wow. I'm blown away by that. I mean, I said last season, I was like so blown away by the information that was coming through you. But, and again, today, same thing, blown away. I know Randy, we all know Randy, but I don't know if you know Randy. So it's like everything you said just totally made sense. Wow, amazing. So we have lots more people with their hands raised, lots more questions. But before we go to the questions, more questions, Denise, do you want to just talk about the packages for a moment?
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm going to share my screen. Give me one second.
Awesome.
And then we will come back to the questions, guys. Okay, not to worry. I know some of you are like, oh my God, we will come back. We will have time, don't worry, to have to take a few more quick questions. Okay, so can you see it? Can you see my screen?
I sure can. Okay, so today we have three different packages within the special offer. And all of them include the opportunity to join our live virtual online experience where we'll do labyrinth walking together. So this is something, as I mentioned in the beginning, I do every June as part of my rebalancing, you know, from the first half of the year into the second half. And selfishly, I want to bring as many of you and your animal companions along for the ride. So we get an opportunity to connect live through package A, B, and C. So package A is all about unleash your inner prana with labyrinths modules. So this is going to be four different modules. The first is going to be an intro to labyrinths, because for a lot of us, labyrinths are kind of a new tool, a new technology. So this first bonus module is something that as soon as you sign up, you get it so that you can start learning about labyrinths, learning about our spiritual legacy with our pets, downloading kind of a sample labyrinth like the one I held up earlier today. So you can start playing with it and getting the hang of it. So that when we start the actual live virtual labyrinth walks, you already have, you know, kind of like that baseline. So our first virtual labyrinth walk is going to be taking you to Tuna Canyon, and we'll be supported by the energy of Wolf. And Tuna Canyon, you know, this actually is the picture of the actual labyrinth that I walk every January 1st. That's the labyrinth experience. So we're all going to start our journey there. And so we'll understand the energy of Tuna Canyon, the native peoples who were there, their customs, their traditions. And then we're going to learn a little bit more about our animal sponsor, who for this module is going to be Wolf. And so we'll be exploring that energy, and we'll go on a virtual walk, which is through a guided kind of meditation, if you will. I have an audio piece that I created that helps us walk into the labyrinth and then hold space as we walk back out. And at the end of that live experience, we do a live share. So I, you know, have everybody hop on the phone. What did you see? What did you hear? What was your experience? We do mini readings for you so you can kind of go deeper. And for each labyrinth walk, we want to have an intention going in, because that makes it really powerful. So the first labyrinth walk, the intention is going to be gaining insight into what energy you need to release to find your path more clearly. And Wolf, being the pathfinder that he is the perfect support to help hold space for us to be able to do that. And of course, you'll invite your animal companions or any other animals that want to join and show up in this labyrinth with you. The second virtual labyrinth walk, this is one that blew me away. This is where we'll be going to the Tomar Cathedral, and we'll be using horse. And for anybody who's been to the Tomar Cathedral in Portugal, it's a Knights Templar Cathedral. And in this, there's this octagon-shaped cathedral with a big door to the outside world. And the Templar Knights, before they went into battle or went on duty, they would walk this cathedral, which it feels like a labyrinth, on their horses. So when you go to Tomar and you go to this Knights Templar Cathedral and you walk that space, when I was standing there, it's as if I could hear the hooves of the horses. Like, it's so palpable, that connection of man with horse. And so on this particular labyrinth, we'll have the exact same setup. We'll talk about Tomar Cathedral. We'll talk about the Knights Templar. We'll talk about the significance of horse. And then we'll go into our beautiful labyrinth walk experience together. And the insight and intention for this one is, what battles have you been fighting that you can walk away from? So horse is going to help us kind of go through that process. The third labyrinth walk is taking us to Stonehenge through the energy of Hawk. And so with this, I love doing it this time of year, because we're right up on the summer solstice. And what better place to celebrate it than by visiting virtually Stonehenge? So with this one, we'll be learning about Stonehenge, we'll be learning about the energy of Hawk, and then we'll be doing our live experience. And the insight we'll tap into is, what do you need to know and trust regarding divine timing and your connection with the universe? So for each of these virtual labyrinth walks, you'll get three different choices of labyrinth printouts that you can walk. You also get just the audio guided tour that you can download to your phone so you can do it whenever you want. So that bonus item you'll get, you know, as soon as you sign up, so you can kind of get the show going. And then the first virtual labyrinth walk is going to be June 1st. The second is going to be June 8th. And then the next one is June 15th. So we're going to have all of these under our belt before the summer solstice, which was the intention, as the halfway point in the year. And then our last bonus item is the invitation to join our private membership group, live oracle card reading. And this is one of the most fun things we get to do each month. We get together, we pull oracle cards, animal oracle cards for the group. And then I pull cards for each individual person joining. But if you have oracle cards, you're also invited to pull them for the group. So it's super experiential. It's super inviting. It's very fun. We have an amazing soul pack. And, you know, just to kind of close the loop on that, this has been a beautiful way for us to learn about different animals that we might not have, you know, an experience with day to day. So wasp comes up a lot in that group, which has helped us change perceptions about him. We get kangaroo, we get giraffe, we get otter, all these wild animals that we never would have had a relationship with otherwise. So you'll be invited to join one of those live oracle card readings.
Awesome. So that's package A. And now for package B is everything in package A, plus a 30-minute intuitive reading session with Denise. Mm-hmm. Is it something like what we did today, or?
It is. So this is, you know, basically what happens, you book this intuitive reading, it's going to be 30 minutes one-on-one, and you'll get a recording afterwards, which is really helpful. And what I do is I'll pull the numerology of your name, your pet's name, to start getting some insights. And then it's going to be just whatever information flows through. Different animal communicators get different sorts of information. Some get, I like this toy or food. Others get a lot of medical information. What tends to come through most strongly for me is what's going on in the human's life through the lens of the pet. So as you guys have kind of noticed in these readings, that, you know, that's a very good sampling of what tends to come through. And you can book this 30-minute intuitive reading whether or not you have a pet, whether or not you've ever had a pet, as long as you, you know, maybe you like dolphins, maybe you just want to connect and see what animals show up for you. It's not a requirement to have a pet. We still can get a lot of insight through the animals supporting us.
Awesome. And so that's package B, and then package C is everything in package A and B, plus the full course bundle of Pet Prana's Mindful Dog Training online course. So this is, there's a lot in this. So I'll let Denise talk about what is in this bundle.
So this is, you know, once you've gone through the labyrinth experience, once you've got a reading, you might uncover some of your pet's behaviors that you want to work on a bit more. And you might even get a deeper understanding of why they're barking, why they're having accidents. This full course bundle is great for any pet parent, whether you have a puppy or a more mature companion or a dog that's been with you for a long time. It goes through everything you need to know to set your dog up for success or to continue building communication. So it takes a traditional approach to dog training through positive reinforcement. So everything's going to be collaborative, working together, reward-based. And we go through all the major aspects and everything you need to know as a pet parent. So puppy 101 class, which is just kind of level setting on positive reinforcement and communicating energetically with our dogs. We talk about benevolent leadership, independence training, and separation anxiety. We have a housebreaking course, managing unwanted behaviors like barking, digging, chewing. And everything comes with a PDF that has not only traditional training materials and resources, but also then energetic considerations. What does the barking mean? What do the accidents mean? How can you translate that into bigger aspects and themes in your life? And then we always have activities. You'll learn all the basic obedient commands through videos, as well as, you know, there's a lot of like meditations you guys can do together, suggestions for books to read together. So it's really this comprehensive way to train your pet step by step, but not only through traditional training, but with the energetic considerations as well.
Awesome. There's a lot there. So that's package C. And so I just wanted to also just remind you all, that a payment plan is available for all three packages. And if you are an Inner Circle member, free or VIP, please take advantage of your gift code. And if you're not, please do join the Inner Circle. Like I said, the free plan is free. It's free, it doesn't cost you anything. And then the VIP plan is $25 per month. So take a look at it and see what resonates for you. But of course, please do take a look at these three packages. And I love this idea of the virtual labyrinth walking. I think it's so powerful, so transformational. And of course, the 30-minute into a reading with Denise, we just got a little bit of a taste of what that's like, but there's more that you can receive in 30 minutes. And of course, that full course bundle of Pet Prana Mindful Dog Training online course. I keep saying, oh my God, I should look into that. I should look into that, especially for the barking for Timmy, especially. It's like sometimes when he starts, he just doesn't stop. It's like, oh my God, I have to take a look at it. Because obviously, you know, he's 10 years old and he's really well behaved and he knows a lot of the commands and everything, but there are still some places where, you know, he could use a little bit of work, or we could use a little bit of work.
Absolutely. So, and just a friendly reminder that even if you sent for package A, B, or C, not only with package B and C do you get that 30-minute kind of reading live connection, everybody gets the live connection with the group oracle card reading, but also each week with our virtual labyrinth experience, you get readings just like we're doing here. So it's a really great way to kind of connect and get these little messages along this entire month of June, which is so transformational.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you. All right. So we have time to take a few more quick questions. Let me just get my chat open as well. Goodness. Okay. So there's a few more. So Layla, I know I've been waiting a long time. Layla, you want to unmute yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much. Hi, Denise.
There.
I'd like to ask about my cat, Lulu. His name is Lou, but you say it twice, L-O-U, L-O-U. And I've had readings for him and done things in the physical to help him with his itching, and it just doesn't seem to resolve. And now it's even going into his ear, his right ear in the last few days. And I'm just wondering, am I not hearing something?
I love that that's where you're taking it. That's so beautiful. So again, you know, to Laura's point, we always recommend, you know, working with a vet and going through that process. But energetically, I'll share with you what's coming through. When you say Lulu, oh my goodness, he has a lot of threes that make up his name. It's 383383 time and time again. And whenever one of the kind of behaviors or aspects of pets, when there is a lot of that three theme coming up, does have to do with skin issues and allergies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it has to do with feeling comfortable in his own skin, in your own skin as well. Really stepping into the power of who you are, the creative projects that you're here to put out into the world. Mm. So a lot of times it can be that opportunity to really step into your skin as the pet parent, to really be as big as you can. One of the things that Lou is bringing in also is when I see 3 and 8 side by side, it's 11. And 11 over 2 is a master vibration of connection. Connection to the energy messages, the other side. So part of what he's asking you to be comfortable stepping into is your mediumship. Have you started channeling, doing, okay. So have you done things outwardly with it yet?
I asked for volunteers to work with, and I had 4. It was quite humbling. and then stopped for a month. So I did that in March, and then didn't do anything in April.
So start with the channeling for yourself. So part of it is everyone is of us when we step into our intuitive kind of, you know, okay, we're out in the world, folks, come on in. So many of us have that experience of attracting the not ideal clients right off the bat that kind of knock us down a few pegs. And we're like, oh God, that was not it. Whether they're, you know, stretching boundaries or they're like, yeah, that doesn't resonate at all.
Yeah.
sometimes it's because they're coming in with a closed aura. So what we're learning to do as intuitives is we're learning to be like, okay, the second I sense that person's energy, I know they're not open to it. Or I know that I just can tell they're sort of like waiting, like, oh, I'm going to catch her, you know, like mm-hmm. let her prove to me, like that kind of vibe. So that's okay. We all have to go through those experiences so we can wipe the slate clean and be like, oh yeah, that's not it. So first and foremost, what Lulu is saying as well is start with you. Start channeling messages for yourself, messages for Lulu, messages for the universe to kind of get that clear connection first. Because what's happening is more guides, for lack of a better word, are trying to funnel into your channel. So they're kind of crowded there. So the more that you can connect, you're going to start picking up on the different energies and who they are. And this is going to be helpful because you have very different, I'm getting all excited because they're so fun. You have a bunch of different guides that are going to come in for different situations. You have, and apologies for the term, you have a sassy broad who is one of your guides who's like, bring me back those clients. I'll handle it. So the messages that she would bring are very specific. And then you have different guides. You have St. Francis actually is one of your guides for pets. So he'll step in, and especially pets who are barking or chattering a lot, or, you know, are quote unquote misbehaving, he'll have a talk with them. Little ones, be still. You know, so you have all these guides. So right now it's about getting to know them so that when you have the different experiences, you're familiar with who's coming in.
I love this. Yeah. I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
That's exciting. Awesome, Leila. Good. Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
I will.
Awesome. Thank you.
And you know, also for Leila, but for all of us, as we're practicing on building our intuitive muscles, I love these kind of shows because as we follow along and people ask questions, we can tap into the answers we're getting as well. I did that a lot and I still do. It's just like so much fun. You know, we'll listen. And even if we're not the ones who are on the podcast responding, it's always interesting to see what comes up for us as well. And that's super low stakes.
Hmm. Good point. Thank you. All right. There's a question from Pamela in the chat. And she said, my female year-old pup, Sweet Pea, is jumping over the fence multiple times daily. What's up with her? She wants to escape. She's having fun. But yeah, Sweet Pea.
Okay. So Sweet Pea was fetching me, Pamela, because literally on my walk this morning, I was like, what is going on with Pamela? I got to reach out to her. So Sweet Pea is your runaway divine feminine, like quite literally is what she's saying. So your creative projects, whether it's with the gnomes or, you know, whatever else is going on, has kind of run off and she's asking you to harness it back in. Albert is also coming in and tapping his toe a little bit, being like, how about our work? How about the stuff we were going to do? Because what I'm getting the sense through Sweet Pea is the gnome stuff, the different projects you were doing that were more fun, but also quote unquote, more low stakes, have kind of like taken on a life of their own, but to the point where it's distracting you from some of the important work that Albert needs you to do. So that's what Sweet Pea is mirroring back to you.
Hmm. Wow, interesting. So let us know how that resonates with you, Pamela. And then there's a message from Risa in the chat. Her cat is dying today of abdominal tumors. Can we give her some support?
Oh, Risa, I'm so, so sorry to hear that. And
thank you.
I'm just holding the space. Oh, good. You're here. Voice-wise too. Okay. I heard your voice.
Yes.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry about that. We're all just kind of holding you in that space. And let's see what they can say to soothe your heart. What is your cat's name?
His name is Oscar.
Oscar. What a beautiful name. Okay. So let me see what Oscar wants to say. So part of, I'm just going to clear my throat real quick.
Excuse me?
Sorry, I just had to clear my throat. So part of what he's saying is that it's an honor to be going through this experience with you, and that as difficult as it is for you, you're mindfully watching him go through the process and supporting him each step of the way. And for you, there's a lifetime connection that he's bringing back. And, you know, I don't think you were this person, but the vibe they're giving me is like a Florence Nightingale, where you were tending to people who were hurt in war. And you were with them, holding their hand, being kind of their last bright light as they took their final breath on this earth. And they were so grateful to have you, because some of these men were so young. They were boys. They were scared. And just to have that motherly energy that you brought in that lifetime made it okay. Made it, and I'm like starting to tear up because there's so much emotion tied to it. So Oscar was one of those boys in that lifetime, and he came back to you as this animal companion. And so part of what's coming up today is that remembrance of that lifetime and that gift that you gave so many young men, boys, older men, you know, like these soldiers who just were scared. So if by you holding the light, and he shows you as this very angelic energy. I don't know what you look like in the physical, but the way that he portrays you is just this very like bright, crystalline, white, like just, you know, this light, it's almost like you're backlit, and he just sees you and he feels okay. He feels okay with you there. He regrets that you have to go through this, but it's a little bit of that honoring of that role that you've played. And I'm asking him what else he wants to say about this. And right now he's in a situation where he's really focused on mindfully going through this experience, but there will be gifts that he brings you from it. And in particular, another kitten, it feels like. It feels like you might not be looking for another cat or kitten or pet, but one shows up, and that's gonna be from Oscar. And it's gonna be a brighter experience, and it feels like it's gonna be a female. To kind of shift that dynamic, because you have this really beautiful assistance to the male energy, these men, these soldiers, Oscar. It feels like the next gift that he brings you is of the female energy to be more of the support to you as well, more of the sisterhood.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's been so comforting. He's been reaching out his paw, and just like he had his paw on my heart a lot of the night. He just, and he's not a snuggly cat. He just was doing that in the night last night.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you know, that's such a mirroring of what you did for those boys and that, you know, experience that he described. It was just the having that connection in those moments. And I love that he's able to bring that for you too.
Oh, sorry, I'm outside. So it went by.
That's okay. But there's such a beautiful honoring. What he wanted to really do in this message is show you how beautiful you are and how helpful and loving and kind and what a gift you've been to so many in their most difficult moments.
Wow. That's so beautiful. So just know we're supporting you as you go through this as well. I know I can't imagine how difficult it is, but just know that you're not alone and that we're here to support you as well, okay?
Thank you. I'm going through it with him and I'm watching him and I'm just kind of, he's been to the vet. I'm doing, you know, hospice cat care now with him. And I'm looking at, you know, minute to minute, like, what do I do now? What do I do now? What does he need next? And
yeah, the most important thing he needs is just your presence. He shows you also kind of like singing or humming softly to him. Uh-huh. And then he also wants you to let you know that when our animals feel like they're in pain or, you know, things are uncomfortable is a better word to say it. They can very easily step out of their bodies for that moment and then step back in if that's the plan or, you know, move on. They don't experience the pain as we do. And when they do separate and detach from their bodies completely, they're like right with us. It's almost like we're looking at them kind of like crying and mourning because we're so attached to their physical little bodies, but they're like, what's the big deal? I'm here. Yeah, that was my suit. That was something that I can just, you know, swap out. So they're not as attached to their physical body. So when they actually, their soul exits it, they're like right by our side very quickly. So the second you realize he's gone, just look to your right. He'll be right there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And deep breaths, deep breaths. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good. Just know you're not alone, okay? We'll be sending you energy vibes, positive vibes, lots of love as you go through this, okay?
I appreciate you so much. It's so interesting because I worked with an animal communicator before, and I asked him, I said, do you want to talk to her again? And he touched the phone. So I tried to get an appointment with her this morning, and it won't be till 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. And I said, what am I going to do? And this is your show today.
Awesome. Good.
Just so many things are falling together. Thank you again so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you were able to make it on live. So that's perfect. Good.
Yes.
All right. Blessings, Oscar, as well. I can't imagine. I'm going to, like, if I talk too much about it, I'm going to start crying. So, all right, Denise, how are we doing?
Good. We're doing great. This is lovely. I mean, everybody's so wonderful.
Oh yeah, you've been awesome. You've been amazing with the information that's coming through. Like I said, you're so connected. It's like, wow, amazing. We can take one or two more quick questions because I'm starting to fade here in this chair. As everybody knows, after a while, I'm like, uh-uh. So we can take one or two more questions, okay? So Rosalinda, I saw your pet earlier.
Hi.
On the screen.
Thank you. My cat's name is Toby, and he's a male cat. And Toby's not a very affectionate type or a lap cat. But, you know, he wants me to pet him, but then out of the blue, he'll attack me. Mm. And he still does. I've had him for 9 years, and out of the blue, he'll go after my ankles, bite me. The other day, he really attacked me because I reprimanded him. Yeah. And I mean, viciously, he bit me. So I'm just like, it just hurts so much to know that I've had this cat so long and I give him all of my attention. He's still so aggressive with me.
And so, dearest Rosalinda, thank you for sharing that, because I work with a lot of pet parents who say the same thing, right? And it feels such a betrayal. Like, dude, really?
Yes, I was so hurt.
Yeah, like, come on, throw me a bone with a cuddle. So a couple things going on here. Toby vibrates at a 17 over 8. And the energy of 8 is the beautiful leader, right? So Toby, number one, thinks he is, you know, a lion. Right? He just holds himself and like presents himself in this way. When I work with animal companions that vibrate at that 8 vibration, a lot of times what they're doing is helping us stand up and find our own leadership, find our sense of I'm a lion, you don't mess with me or I roar, right? And so what Toby is mirroring is there are a lot of different relationships in your life where you get the same treatment. You give, it's family members, it's career, whatever it may be, but you give, and then they swat you. And you're like, dude, really, come on. So part of this is setting up those boundaries, right? And it's not necessarily that you need to roar back at Toby, but you need to hold that energy. When he comes to swat at you or do whatever it is, little one, we're de-escalating this right now. Not acceptable, kiddo. Let's reframe this. Right? So that's going to be a very different roar than trying to match brute force to brute force. He's asking you to embody the lion in you, embody the lyran and the lion. So the lion is the animal. The lyran is the galactic energy from the Lyra star system. And the lyrans are here. They look a lot like lion people. The way I see them, they carry like this military blue, beautiful garb. But they are all about our soul contracts here on earth with the animals. And they're the ones who, in my experience, lead that Lionsgate portal on August 8th, which is so transformative, so big, all about shifts. So Toby is helping you really step into that energy of those loving boundaries where you set that up and be like, I will not be treated that way. That's unacceptable. Let's reframe this. And just by simply saying that, those boundaries get set up and people go, whoa, what? And then they're like, okay, let's kind of rethink the way we think we can get away with things with Rosalinda. So that's what Toby is helping you do, is really step into that moment so you don't keep taking those slots and giving more and coming back, because you're such a loving, giving person. You want to help, and you're excellent at being able to see where people can use help or what their next step should be. And you give these pearls to people and then they squander them and they attack you for it, or disregard you for it, or, you know, whatever it is. And so that's what he's mirroring. And he's having you train that energy of chest out, shoulders down, little one, no, right? And meaning it, not just saying little one, no, that's a very different, little one, no, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what, it's funny because that's what I've learned to do. I have to really stand up to him constantly. He's a constant reminder in a sense.
He's the constant reminder. And the beauty of it is right now you're in a dynamic of, okay, I have to stop his energy. I got to pause it, right? So it's almost like you don't even need to talk. It's just standing tall and going,
yes,
right? And what's going to happen is you're going to talk to him and be like, what do you need from me? How can I help the situation? How can we find a middle term that's going to work for us all? Because one of the things that we work through is the first step is stopping, halting whatever is inappropriate coming our way. Mm-hmm. The second step is, how do I now find commonality? You know, to Alara's point, to her pet's point, we all just want to be loved. How can I love you in a way that works for us both? And it might be through distance, it might be through this, but what you're doing is you're taking the us versus them and you're, how do we come back as a unit better?
Okay, that's so perceptive. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Toby, the big old lion.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you, Rosalinda.
You are spot on with him.
Yeah, that was so powerful. And that message was for everybody, not just for Rosalinda. And I just want to add just really quickly to that point. It's not just, you know, so that message is not just for us with our pets. It's also with us with our children. So I've said this before on another show a long time ago, but once my son was rude to me once. He was a teenager at the time. He was rude to me. And I told him in no uncertain term, I said, you cannot treat me like this. I will not accept this. You are never going to talk to me like this again. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't yelling. I was embodying that power within me to say, no, this stops right here, right now. I'm not going to be treated like this. He never was rude to me again. Right? So I didn't have to yell and scream. I didn't have to say, oh my God, if you do this again, I'm going to kick you out of this. I would never say that because that's just so cruel. But I was in my power and I said, no, you cannot treat me like this. I will not put up with it. Never again. So, you know, sometimes it's about what's important for you. So I set the boundary, right? He was never, and he's now going to be 29 next month. Oh my God. It's like, oh my God. Right. But I still remember that, you know, it's like, we have to stand up for ourselves. We have to embody that lion power within ourselves when there's something happening that we are not, you know, that we don't like, or, you know, I was like, absolutely not. You cannot treat me like that. I will not. I won't. No. Right. So do that for yourself. And it also teaches him that no matter what's going on in his life, what's going on in his world, you can't treat people like that. Right. So it was, go ahead.
That's a beautiful point, because this message is not only for us to stand up, but also we all have been in that situation where maybe you swat at the people closest to us. So Remembering that when we do that, it's usually from a place of hurt. Like if somebody gives me advice and I don't want to hear it because, you know what, I'm mad at myself or I'm ashamed of myself. So I'm going to swat that advice away, no matter how good it is. remember, I'm coming from a place of wounding too, but I need to, you know, hold those boundaries. So it helps us also put ourselves in their shoes, you know, as well, which, yep. you know, coming back, bringing full circle our conversation about balanced perspectives, finding, you know, both sides, because when we realize, oh man, they must be ashamed or something must be going on, we can envelop them with love. We can also show love to ourselves for standing up and walking the walk and embodying that. So there's such beauty that we can get from this experience and always looking at it from, yep, I'm on the receiving end and this is what I would do, but let me think about where they are as well, because that's going to help me respond and react.
Mm-hmm. Well, trust me, there was no lack of love for my son. Yeah. It was that was never the issue. It was just, you know, I don't know. It was like he was in a bratty phase. Teenagers, you know, if we can get through those teenage years as parents, I think we deserve a medal or something.
Just, yeah. As a former teenager, I agree. I was a nightmare. So you guys can see.
I definitely deserve a medal for yeah, but I survived. I got gray hair out of it, but I still have some hair. Okay, one last question. We're going to go to Jane. Jane, you want to unmute yourself?
Laura, you're beautiful, and you heard me. I asked in my mind. I said, please, that's my question. Awesome. How beautiful. It's because it's you and Denise. I've heard Denise before speaking, and I was going to do some other things. I feel like I've got a lot of things I need to do. I'm really behind in things in life. But you two have just kept me hooked in there. So my question might be interesting to you. I had a cat. My cat passed away. And I had to give my cat away to a lovely couple I got to know who had a son. And I had to give it to them because I had to, well, I just had to move back to my parents, actually. So do I give her my name or the name of the cat?
Yeah,
you know, I want. My question is really, might there be some connection, you know, because you've mentioned about pets that have moved on.
So Jane, what's the name of the cat? Yeah.
Ono, or Oh Nameless One. I called her Oh Nameless One, and I called her Ono.
Okay, cute. So Oh Nameless One was your embodiment of your higher self, right? So Oh Nameless One is an homage to the fact that you realize she's part of unity consciousness, as are you. It's the omnipresence of our energy, our consciousness, our awareness, right? So why would she have a name? She's not separate from you. She's part of you. She's part of the universe, as are you. So there's something really beautiful there about you acknowledging, let me see how she wants me to say this. So the way that you live life, it's really interesting. You always have the earthly perspective, but you're always looking up from the higher perspective as well. That's the omnipresence, right? That's the oversight overview. So that's why also in this lifetime, and she doesn't mean this in a disregarding way, but you know not to take things too seriously because you see the bird's eye view at the same time. So with you, you live in a lot of split reality, a lot of kind of split perspectives. It's almost like I get the sense that I'm looking at the world through those glasses that have the far, but also the bifocals when I look down. So your vision is quite interesting. Your vision is quite avant-garde. Your vision is very close to what it is when we're back in the oneness of it all, because we see it all and we experience it all at the same time. So Oh Nameless One is just the testament to that. She's just an aspect of yourself that embodied, then left, then came, then goes and comes, because she just lives in the swirl of the timelines that you live in. You know, with you, nothing's linear or like direct, that you always have multifaceted things going on at once.
Very nicely said. Yes, like everybody has said that you gave them back very good insights while I read my own horoscope when I was about 14 or something. So because of a cousin, I had a cousin, and she was talking about astrology and she was talking about yoga. And so I picked them both up, you know, from her. But I got Alan Leo's book from the library. So I got, you know, one of the age-old teachers, Alan Leo, I mean, because you must know about astrology too. I worked on my own charts, and I didn't really know if I'd done it right then. But then when I was about 18 or so, you know, I looked at it again and I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing you don't know. And
so avant-garde.
Very avant-garde.
Avant-garde fits.
And to that point, oh, nameless one, you can call upon her little energy. She's part of you. She's there. She's part of the consciousness. She's everything at once. So, you know, if you want to connect with her, you can. If you want to center part of the whole, you can. It just depends what you want.
That's so powerful, Jane. Wow. That's amazing. What so a connection
can,
you
she
have.
She can help me. She can help me to solve my problems.
Absolutely.
She can help me to be connected to my higher self. And that's the way to solve the problems I've got.
She is your higher
self. That's what you're saying, yes?
Yeah, she is your higher self. So you can bounce any ideas you want off her. You know, sometimes it's helpful for us to feel we're bouncing energy off something else. So talk to her. She's your higher self.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you, Alara.
Good. Wow. So many different types of messages that you were getting, Denise. It's amazing all the different ways that you're tapping into people's energies and the wisdom coming through from the pets and just from spirit. I don't know. I'm just like so amazed and blown away. So, yeah.
It's interesting, right? The pets are the ones, I just translate it, right? So the pets come through and they, you know, drop in what needs to be dropped in. And as pet parents, we're all so intuitive. We just sometimes need the validation, or, you know, we don't give ourselves enough credit. But everyone on this call is so intuitive, so, you know, able to do the exact same thing. It's just about trusting ourselves. And I think when we come into balance, we learn to trust ourselves more. And that's the beauty of the lessons and the legacy that they leave with us. They're walking alongside of us so that we can trust ourselves more and come back to that sense of oneness.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
We've got Toby with Rosalinda making an appearance. Oh, bumping heads. I love that.
Wants to be seen. You know?
I sneezed and he doesn't like me sneezing. He came over to check out what's going on.
Nice.
He, like, as I said, he can be very affectionate.
On his part. Oh, sweetheart.
Beautiful. See, so he's saying, see, I'm nice. I'm nice. I'm caring. I'm loving. What are you talking about? Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much, Rosalinda.
Thank you.
All right, so if you'd like to work more with Denise, with your pets, with the pets in the wild, please do work. Oh my goodness. I mean, like, I mean, it's always, of course, your choice, but it's like, oh my God, why would you not want to work more with Denise, work with the labyrinths, work with your pets, the virtual labyrinth walking, work with your pets in the oracle readings? I mean, there's just so much available with Denise. I just love it. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm smitten. I'm a smitten kitten. So please do check out the packages. Again, they are live, right? So the virtual walking labyrinths are live starting June 1st, right? That's but you can get started ahead of time with the program. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you can always, if you get package B and C, you can get the 30-minute intuitive reading with Denise. And Denise, how far in advance are you booked?
I open up space. So
awesome. You know,
in the next week or two, we can, you know, usually find something.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that. So please do, you know, because again, these messages are not just about, well, what does my pet like what's going on with my pet, but it's like there's so much stuff, you know, about the galactics, about your life purpose, about who you are, about your higher self, about like, you know, like so much. It's not just, you know, the basic stuff, you know, it's like deeper and bigger at the same time. So definitely take advantage of those offers. Take advantage of the payment plan and take advantage of the Inner Circle gift code, whether it's the 10%, the free, or the 25% VIP. Please do take advantage of those as well. Or any other last words of wisdom, Denise? I know we went a bit long, but that's okay.
No, just thank you everybody for sharing your pets, your stories, your energy. For those who, you know, we've had more lighthearted messages, it's always so beautiful to kind of have those heart expansions. For those of us who are going through a really tough time, I've noticed in the chat a few people saying they've had to say goodbye to their pets. You know, we have beautiful Ressa going through the process right now. Thank you for holding that space. You know, you're in Alara has created a beautiful soul pack of amazing members, and we're all here supporting each of you. And the beauty of it is all our pets are supporting you and Oscar and all of us as well. So it feel that love enveloped from us, the humans, and also the pets who are surrounding us. And just thank you, each of you, for showing up and sharing in the beautiful ways that you did. And there's nothing more fun than seeing all the pets pop up on screen randomly in awkward angles. It just adds so much joy to the experience.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for being here, for sharing, being vulnerable, asking your questions. You know, I know we didn't get to everybody, but we did get quite a few. So go back and also listen, because some of the wisdom, you might not think it applied to you because we weren't talking about your pet, but you know, it's universal wisdom, most of it. So please go back and listen to that to receive that gift of that universal wisdom as well. And what do you think of the new website? Oh my God, somebody tell me it looks great.
Looks great. And the energy behind it looks great. And the Facebook group too. Like, you just create a lot of opportunities for us to connect and feel your energy. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like sometimes like I just need somebody to say, oh my God, looks great. You did, you work so hard. Thank you. Yes, I know. Just, you know, yes, I've been working so hard. I need a vacation. But yes, if anybody has any issues with anything, please feel free to email me. I'm here to support you. So just email me if you have any questions or problems or anything. Yeah. And so with that, thank you so much, everyone, for being here with us to launch season 32. I'm excited. It's going to be until like August, mid-August, you know, ish. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have some new speakers, some our favorites like Denise. And of course, all of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. How did I get so lucky? I'm so grateful I get to do this. You know, it's like, who would have thunk it, right? Who would have thunk it? So thank you, thank you. I so appreciate you all. Until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. And please love your pets a little bit more today, because, you know, that's all they really want. They just want love and attention, right? So just love them a little bit more. I'm going to go hug my babies in a few minutes. So please do that as well. All right. And for those of you who are going through a difficult time with your pets right now, I'm so sorry. Please receive our support and our blessings and love. I don't want to know what that's like yet. It's like, I can't imagine. So my heart goes out to you, but know that you're not alone. Okay. You are supported. All right. So thank you so much, everyone. Much love and blessings. Bye for now. Thank you again so much, Denise. You're amazing. Oh my God. I just love this show. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye.